From the deepest darkness of Dromund-Kos to the smelly sewers of Nar Shaddaa to the brightest light that shine on Tython, this is Flashpoint.
Everyone, welcome to episode 9. Great to be here again on a day where the cold winds of doom tend to be blowing over the earth. Actually, I'm being overly dramatic as per usual, and we'll talk more about that later. But a person that has nothing to do with cold wind is my colleague in battle, Ed. How are you going?
Well, it's actually fairly cold and fairly windy up here right now. It's raining. But Let's get the good out of the way first, and then we can do the gloom and doom.
Absolutely. Funny enough, it's raining and cold and windy here. That's bizarre. It shows you that climate change must be a myth if we got the same weather.
Oh, no. Global warming's a myth.
That's right. You heard it here first. So we'll do some Republic news.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Republic news.
So it's fair to say the last week's been one of the biggest news weeks for Star Wars The Old Republic in a while, obviously because of the E3 show. BioWare were there in force, and it was obvious through the amount of announcements they make. So we'll work our way through them one by one, even though I'm sure most of you have viewed them in great detail and read through them, but we'll have a quick chat. First cab off the rank fairly much was the return trailer. So as we know, there were Deceived and Hope were the two trailers prior to this, and now we have Return. Ed, walk us through it.
Well, Deceived was the first trailer, and that was at E3 in 2009. It was Darth Malgus's attack on the Jedi Temple on Coruscant, and the siege of Coruscant, the sacking of Coruscant, all this, massive Sith attack on Coruscant, the heart of the Republic that devastates the Republic and makes them have to go into the Cold War. That is the reason that we're playing the game 10 years later, is because the Cold War is heating up. Then in 2010, we got the Hope trailer, which my personal favorite. I'm a Trooper fanboy. I make no bones about being a Trooper fanboy. It's what I do. Give me armor and a big gun. You guys can have your Globats. Go over there, play with your Force, whatever. Give me a big gun and let me shoot stuff. Then we get this. I wasn't sure what to expect with this. Oh my God. It's the Sith's return to Korriban. It's the attack on the Republic facility there. And you have two Jedi there. And you have the trooper from the Hope trailer there. And you have a smuggler there. And I'm watching the smuggler doing what the smuggler does. And I'm thinking, Trooper's going to be my primary, but Smuggler's going to be my alt. And I'm going to have a gunslinger. I have to have a gunslinger. And he's striding through the enemy fire and bang, bang, bang. And every time something dies. That's pretty darn cool, wouldn't you say, David?
Yeah, look, I'd agree. The gunslinger was rather tasty. It was what the trailer's sort of really brought home to me that I need to roll on both sides to really get the best out of the story. I was going to do that anyway, given that we at Toros we run a site devoted to Star Wars The Old Republic, so you need to cover both sides. But yeah, it definitely got me. And there were plenty of Globats, as you call them, in it too, which I do like. So I quite like that side of it as well.
I have to say, I doubt they're going to do it in the game, But there is nothing quite so epic as watching that Jedi Master fight with a single-bladed lightsaber in one hand and a double-bladed in the other. Oh my God!
It's the equivalent of having three testicles, really, isn't it?
Yeah! I mean, it's like, whoa! I'm not a big fan of Jedi. I've never been a big fan of Jedi. They've always been too overpowered, too much. It's not rational. But, I mean, that's my feeling on the Jedi, is that they're just too much. But that, I mean, that guy fought through Darth Malgus, who is the focal point through all three trailers. Darth Malgus is the one who attacked Coruscant and Deceived. He's the one who attacked Alderaan in Hope. And he's the apprentice who attacks the space station that the Jedi are on in Return. His master gets his butt kicked by the Jedi. And then Malgus assumes the master's place in the way of the Sith by killing his master. The fight between Malgus and the Jedi was just so well done. The Jedi is grace, and he's speed, and he's precision. Malgus is power. He's just boom! And the Jedi goes down. I mean, he can't stop that. It takes Malgus a little while, but eventually Malgus beats him down and takes him out. The other thing that I loved about the Return trailer was the space flight scene. You know, when they get into the smuggler's ship and they're flying away, they run into the Sith ship. Can you imagine the insurance bill? Can you just imagine the insurance bill on a Fury-class starship? And can you imagine the poor insurance guy who has to file the claim?
Yeah, I'd like to think that insurance is a little bit different. But it probably isn't. It probably still sucks.
Yeah, I could just see Malgus sitting there at a desk. No, sir, he hit me. No, sir, he hit me. No, sir. I put the ship down where I was supposed to in the landing grid. The smuggler ship hit mine. What do you mean you can't pay 100%? How am I supposed to pay for the repairs of the ship?
So for anyone out there thinking of doing a fan fiction on that, that's copyright to Ed. It's not yours. You asked for permission.
And then, of course, he force chokes the guy. You know he's going to have to.
So, yeah, that return trailer, very nice. Very good continuation of high-quality trailers. Yeah, not a lot to complain about there.
The other interesting thing about the Return trailer is I don't know whether this will be in-game or not, but they showed turret fighting. You know, the Satel and the trooper were in the turrets of the smuggler's ship as it was flying away. And they're shooting from that. And that's been a staple in LucasArts titles pretty much X-Wing versus TIE Fighter. Can't remember whether it was an X-Wing versus TIE Fighter, but it was an X-Wing Alliance. And ever since X-Wing Alliance, they've had turret combat of some kind. In Knights of the Old Republic, they had turret scenes. In almost every other title, they've had some kind of thing where you're sitting at a seat and turning guns and blowing enemy spaceships out of space with it as a mini game. I don't know whether that would work for the space combat scenes, but it'd be pretty darn cool.
It would be. I'm going to sound like the Grinch here a bit, but I've always struggled with that, even back to the original New Hope movie, which obviously had that in it as well. How the hell do you get to the stage of developing hyperspace but still not have some sort of auto-detect gun that can actually shoot things in the bloody air that requires a human to get in a Spitfire, not a Spitfire, in a bomber-like cockpit from World War II to shoot things?
That I can actually explain, and I actually have a definition for that. In Star Wars, droids, the idea of a droid controlled weapon has been tried. It's actually been done in several stories. They have droid-controlled guns. But it never quite works right. You know, an artificial intelligence is faster than human reflexes. You know, it can react faster, it can shoot faster, can target faster, and, you know, decide which targets to hit faster. But it relies on sensors. You know, if you jam those sensors, then the guns are blind and they can't shoot. Or they go berserk and they start shooting your allies.
There is that, and I'm aware that it's also for dramatic effect, and it's bloody good fun, and, you know, I totally understand why. I'm just being the Grinch because it's cold.
It, lots of people have asked that over the years, and one of the things, you know, George Lucas specifically said, you know, it was for dramatic effect. They wanted the gun turret scene. But the other thing you have to remember is the Millennium Falcon in A New Hope was not state-of-the-art. It was not top of the line. It had a really good hyperdrive. It had big guns. But the rest of it, for a lot of, you know, Empire Strikes Back, the ship was busted.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. I bow my head in shame at my lack of respect for Star Wars dramatic effect and lore.
Well, it's not something that a lot of people know, but admittedly, it's just for dramatic effect for the most part. But now it has a specific reason that, you know, any droid-controlled weapon can be fooled easier than someone with an old, as my drill instructor called it, the Mark One eyeball cannot be jammed.
That's true. So day 2 or 3 of E3, to follow up from the return trailer, we had an unveiling of some footage of the Eternity Vault raid, or operation, as it's called in Star Wars The Old Republic. Again, really nice footage. I was really, really enjoyed that, probably in some respects more than the return trailer, in that I'm always interested in real gameplay mechanics. I could see how it would work. It looked impressive. It looked, you know, had a real scope to it. Yeah, I really liked it. Are you sort of pumped for some raiding, Ed?
I've never really been a raider. I never really had the time to devote to raiding. Yeah, you need, at least in WoW, the couple of times I did it in WoW, you know, you get a group together, you know, it takes an hour or two to get a group together, and then you have to try to keep the group together. They never really worked out well. Maybe if I'd had a decent guild and we'd actually planned things as opposed to just sort of trying to throw a raid group together, probably would have worked a bit better. I've done instanced, you know, raid type things, but never with that many people. Never with I still have no idea how many people were actually in that. At least 12. I think more like 16.
Yeah, that was my vibe, that it was well and truly above 10. So, I mean, for those that don't play something like World of Warcraft, its rating tiers now are 10 and 25. So it seemed like this was somewhere in between that.
Mm. Well, it looked good. It looked really good. The combat was fast. Everything looked like it was a challenge. You know, that was one of the problems that I heard of with raids, the lower raids in WoW, was that some of them just weren't much of a challenge. You know, the higher tier raids, of course, you know, you go in and you expect to wipe at least 4 or 5 times.
Yeah.
From what I understand. I really liked this. My only complaint is that all the characters were on the Imperial side. They just showed the Imperial side. I wanted to see troopers running in and shooting stuff, but I make no apology for the fact that I'm a trooper fanboy. None.
I need to get you a Trooper Fanboy sort of audio ID to put on the podcast. I'll work on that. Or if someone out there wants to work on it for Ed, go for it. But I'll try and get
rid of it. I wouldn't say no. I wouldn't say no. You know, it's got to be the Rambo. No.
I was more thinking of like coughing up a hairball or something, but that's fine. Yeah, I think the raid mechanic looked good. It looked like you'd expect a raid mechanic. There's nothing groundbreakingly different aside from the coolness of, you know, seeing lots of force lightning and other buffs and that happening that you don't see in current MMOs. But overall, the mechanics seem the same, and that I see that as a good thing.
It is interesting. I've been reading a couple of things on the forum. You only see it for a moment in the walkthrough there, but you do see the boss, the final boss, and he's a Rakata, which is I doubt you know what they were. If you played the Old Republic, right? Or Knights of the Old Republic.
Yeah, no, you can add that to the list of many things I haven't done. Sorry.
But God, David, you gotta play with each other.
I'll
gift it to you on Steam or something. If you've got Steam, I'll gift it to you on Steam. It's $5, I think.
Oh yeah, I didn't realize it was on Steam, so I'll definitely get it off that. Good.
Yeah, it's they don't have the sequel on Steam, but they have the Knights of the Old Republic on Steam. Oh my God, you have to play it. If you play no other Star Wars game in your life before you play The Old Republic, you have to play Knights of the Old Republic, because things will start to make more sense if you play through Knights of the Old Republic first. There are so many things that they've expanded on, they've added on, and like when that droid came up on screen and said, "Statement, time to die, meatbags." Everybody in the audience just started clapping. There's a good reason for that, and I won't ruin it for you if you want to play the game first.
Yeah, I will. I promise I will.
I'll hold you to that.
Yeah, my last Star Wars game was Lego Star Wars on the Wii, and I've done some other stuff on the Super Nintendo, I think, many years ago. But no, I promise I'll do that. I've just finished Half-Life 2, so it's time to step up to another old game.
Yeah. I do recommend Knights of the Old Republic. There are some glitches. There are some moments where you're just like, you know, what? But the story cannot be beaten. And the choices cannot be just... You go through it and you're like, wow, holy, whoa, wait a minute. Why did you just, whoa? And then all of a sudden everything just sort of shifts. And you're like, oh, this is how I love to write. And this is why I love to write the way I do, is because nothing is ever as it seems in my writing. And this is, you expect surprises in these types of things, but the surprises that you get in Knights of the Old Republic are mind-blowing.
Well, you've convinced me. And as we'll discuss later, I might have plenty of time to play Knights of the Old Republic, but we'll get on to that later.
The only problem that I've run into with the Steam version is that there are some glitches on the Steam version, but I mean, I think you get it for $5.
Yeah.
It's not, you're not gonna beat it.
Yeah, I'm happy with glitches for $5. I mean, right. You know, we're very happy on this podcast to provide a bog load of glitches for nothing, but $5.
No, we don't do glitches. Yeah.
So Eternity Vault Raid, thumbs up. And then the next E3 announcement, I've skipped over some more of the minor ones, but the next one, big one for me was the Tatooine walkthrough. To me, that was the highlight of the week. So there's 11 minutes of footage, and it really runs you through in detail of a couple of quests. And again, I was just really impressed because it gave some real insight into how the whole thing works, particularly for someone like me and you, Ed, that hasn't had a hands-on yet. I liked it, and again, it just was very familiar as a, you know, sad WoW player. That, you know, the mechanics are essentially the same, but they're innovative enough to make it more interesting. The story driven, you know, the story driven aspects are great. Loved it.
Yeah, it was interesting. They showed a lot of different bits. They showed a bunch more combat, and they actually showed a character dying at one point. So they talked about the death mechanics and things like that. And then they showed the companion character. I was reading the pricey for that. I'm like, okay, this is a joke, right? A Jawa companion. This is a joke, right? It's not.
No. And he fights.
Oh my god, Blizz does insane damage. He's sitting there blasting things and throwing things, and you know, the lightning is shocking the bad guys who are trying to hit him, and it's just so hilarious.
Yeah, funniest thing since Yoda in a lightsaber fight. So, yeah, it was good. I haven't heard a lot of criticisms of it. If I was going to complain about something, and it's not a legitimate complaint because it's just part and parcel of MMOs, is there's still plenty of grind in it. So it's, you know, kill 6 of these and 20 of those. But if you don't have that, you don't have a lot of content. So it's not
one
really
interesting thing that I noticed. The kill things quest was a bonus mission.
Yeah, that's
the
true.
The kill things quest, you get extra for doing that, but you don't have to. What I remember from WoW is you go here, you kill a bunch of, you know, boars, bears, spiders, whatever the hell you have to go kill. And then you grab their tongues or their spleens or whatever. You take it back to the quest giver, and they give you another quest to go do more. And then they give you another quest to go do more. And blah, 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 blah. A lot of MMOs just have the grind. But this looks like it's going to be, well, if possible, less grindy than... It's certainly less grindy than WoW. It's certainly less grindy than Warhammer Age of Reckoning or City of Heroes or even Tabula Rasa or any of the others that I've played. It's a lot less grindy. It looks like. I haven't, you know, admittedly, I haven't had any hands-on, and I'm not likely to have any hands-on for a while, but it looks really, really nice. And my only true complaint, what am I doing riding around on a Segway?
Yeah, I must admit that I tend to think of it as a mount, but yeah, the vehicle wasn't that sexy, I've got to admit. But then, to be fair, it's a lower level vehicle, so I suppose they get better as you go along. But you're right, there's that Segway feel.
I really hope so. You're just sitting back and you're riding your chopper, and you're just into the... You've got to be kidding me. Oh. And there were glitches with that. I mean, there are going to be glitches with it. They're not... I mean, they've still got, what, 7 months till launch? Six, 7 months till launch? So... They've got time to fix these things.
Well, hold on. Have we got a launch date?
Wait. I am mistaken. I mistook the launch date for Mass Effect 3, which I'm also stoked about, for the launch of this. Sorry.
No, that's okay. I knew we didn't have a launch date.
I'm sorry.
We'll talk more about that later on as well. I mean, there are a lot of people saying that, oh, it's maybe going to be pushed back to quarter one, 2012. And
I don't think so. Nah. I really don't think it will be pushed back that far. It might be pushed back to December, but I don't see it being pushed back into the new year. They might. There are various reasons, marketing reasons, among other things. a lot of people are really stoked about the upcoming release of Battlefield 3 from Electronic Arts. And it looks really good from what I've seen of it. But it's not my kind of thing. I don't like that kind of run and gun, you know, oh, I've hit a HUD and my health will regenerate and then I'll jump out and shoot some more. I don't like that kind of gameplay. It's just not my thing. The game looks really good, and I'm sure people will enjoy it and buy it in droves. So lots of people are moving their game titles elsewhere to keep from having to compete with Battlefield 3.
Yeah, I could see how they could use it, the excuse of a delay for a marketing viewpoint. That actually does make a lot of sense. I mean, my stance is unchanged. I actually don't care when it comes out. I don't care if it's first half of next year, as long as it's good and we've got to have it when we have it. But as long as we all get access to it. But sorry, I'm getting onto that again. I'll just wait till we get up to that. Before we do that, just to wrap up the E3... Was there anything else that stood out for you, Ed, that you really love from E3? I've only covered the big three announcements, and there are obviously a few more than that.
There was something I found when I was on the Mass Effect website, actually, that is really, really interesting. BioWare has started something that's called BioWare TV. Or it's BioWare Pulse. It was started at E3, but apparently it's going to run through all of the other... All of the other press conference type things, and they may do more. It's a media frenzy thing, essentially. It's live. They were chatting live with Casey Hudson and somebody else, Dallas Dickinson. Casey Hudson and Dallas Dickinson, the producers for Mass Effect and Star Wars The Old Republic. And they're answering questions that people are tweeting in. Real time. I looked at that. I'm like, whoa. Holy crud. They're actually, I mean, now that E3 is done, they're rerunning all of this stuff. But they're answering questions that the people are asking. And they're doing it like now. There are questions that they can't answer, you know, release date, release in other places that we'll get to later. I mean, for the most part, you know, gameplay mechanics or asking about faction choices, or about story choices, about things like that, they can answer that kind of thing. And they did. And I was just, wow, that was just incredible.
Yeah, I think I'm actually not that surprised by it from the viewpoint that I've always thought BioWare want to take it up to the big guys with Star Wars The Old Republic, and that's an example of something that the big guys do. So, you know, there's BlizzTV, they have BlizzCon, they have all those direct sort of stuff, although I don't think they do that sort of direct Q&A as well as perhaps what BioWare did then. But I think it's just another example of they've got big ambitions, and it seems that they have the weight behind those ambitions, and that's just one aspect.
Yeah, it surprised me. It shouldn't have surprised me. But then I've been dealing with Ubisoft recently, and Ubisoft's idea of public relations is, we have nothing to tell you. We're not going to tell you anything. We don't need to tell you anything. Goodbye. Click. That's Ubisoft's idea of public relations and marketing.
Well, BioWare are definitely better than that. They like any large company, will you know, tailor their message and only provide what they want people to hear, but they do tend to do that aspect quite well. So E3, done and dusted. I believe the next big event is a comic convention, yeah?
I think so. I haven't been following that kind of thing. I think it's...
I'm pretty sure it's the San Diego Comic Convention or something like that is the next big event that BioWare will be represented at. As an excuse to jump in on some Australian stuff, there's a large-ish expo down here too that I'm hopeful BioWare will front at, and although based on our discussion in a minute, maybe that's less likely now, but I think they're going to be out and about in all the areas, but I'm pretty sure it was San Diego Comic Convention or something was, I think, the next big thing.
I think so, but I'm not sure, and I can't find it quickly. So I'm looking, and I can't seem to find it quickly.
No, that's fine. So E3, good. Wait for the next thing. And that's the news. All right, we've reached that time. It's time to talk about the dreaded Oceanic release rumors. So I'm going to start from the start, as you would expect, particularly for people that may not be aware of this issue, because it is one that tends to be a big thing on the Star Wars The Old Republic forums and not a lot outside that, but I'll give you the background. Essentially, one of our gaming journalists slash presenters on a TV show in Australia called Good Game, which is on our public broadcaster, she was over at E3 and just tweeted something along the lines of, didn't get my hands on Star Wars The Old Republic. It looks like it's going to be released, delayed release down here anyway, probably around the time of the next E3, so a year from now. So you can imagine the reaction that caused. We certainly at Taurus had a few emails from people saying, hey, are you aware of this? I'd like to say, of course, we're aware of it, but no, I hadn't actually seen that tweet. So thank you to, I think it was Darker, was the first person from the forums that let me know about that. Followed it up, and she did two follow-up tweets to queries from Star Wars The Old Republic potential players saying, you're kidding, right? And her responses were, well, this was after talking to a Electronic Arts PR person, but, you know, couldn't really give a lot of detail. So it was very indistinct, but the message was out there, there could be a delay for Oceanic Area. That sort of fermented over the Friday, Saturday, Sunday of this weekend just gone. I know I certainly wrote a story for Toros saying, look, you know, it's been said, but, you know, not that convinced there's total truth in it. It could be a PR person that's got their wires crossed. My initial assumption was they got their wires crossed between Oceanic servers and the actual game launch. But then on Sunday, I got a further message, and this is on the forums as well, that Jason Hill, who's a very respected games journalist for one of our largest newspapers, he's blogged from E3 basically saying the same thing, that according to, you know, an Electronic Arts PR person, there may be a delay for release down here. So that set the cat amongst the pigeons even more. And the Star Wars The Old Republic official forums have had a range of threads set up. One of them's well over 1,000 posts now. There's lots of people up in arms. I'd actually have to give some brickbats to BioWare's, forum moderators. They've not handled it at all well from the viewpoint that they're closing down threads and pointing people to threads that aren't really directly related to the issue at hand. So, you know, I'm not real thrilled about that. I certainly contacted David Bass, BioWare's one of community representatives and, you know, very helpful guy, to ask about the validity of the rumour of delay. His response is a fair enough one from BioWare's viewpoint, in that they don't comment on rumours and that launch regions haven't been announced as yet. Now, from being a little bit paranoid, the fact that there's even talk of launch regions worries me, in that I just assumed a simultaneous worldwide release, which was probably a bit naive in some respects, but I mean, I'm used to simultaneous worldwide releases and I expected Star Wars The Old Republic would be the same, and it still may be a simultaneous release, but yeah, the fact that launch regions have been discussed, I'm not so sure. So Ed, love your perspective. I've got some other stuff I want to say about it, but you know, what are your thoughts?
Launch regions. That can be either a good thing or a bad thing. I mean, you're not going to have the same requirements in Europe, in Asia, in Australia, as you are going to have in North and South America. I mean, it's just, you're just not. However, There are a few things that I can think of that are more like getting kicked in the nads than having a really cool game or a really cool promotion and then being told, oh, by the way, it's only in the UK. Or, oh, by the way, it's only in Europe. Oh, by the way, it's only in Asia. I can imagine what you're feeling right now. I've had that issue dealing with Ubisoft. You know, they keep having these really cool promotions for games, and you know, down at the very bottom it says only available to UK citizens. You scum suckers! That's when I'm being nice. I don't see BioWare being that stupid. I can't see BioWare being that stupid. I mean, you can't, if you kick a whole bunch of your you know, fans in the nads, how are they going to react?
Yeah, look, I agree totally. And that's where I tend to still be on the optimistic side, that it's a PR person that's got their wires crossed. Because, yeah, the approach to do that without any prior warning, with, you know, encouraging everything else around involvement with the lead up to Star Wars The Old Republic, it just doesn't make sense. So either, in my view, and I've written about this, there's a couple of things going on there. Either BioWare have no intention of doing this and this is all a big storm in a teacup, and I still remain hopeful of that, or Electronic Arts have a strategy that they totally haven't kept BioWare in the loop on from a community management viewpoint.
Oh, if that happens, can you say shitstorm?
So, you know, they're the two big options. And I mean, on the story, I've discussed the different things. I mean, I just for the life of me can't see that they're going to do a total lockdown where they're going to say, look, it's 3 months, 6 months, 9 months before Oceanic players can play. We're not going to allow you to buy it from overseas. We'll lock down the IP addresses. You know, sorry about that, but that's life. That's the worst case scenario. I just cannot for the life of me see that happening. But if it did, even then, there are workarounds. But there'd be a lot of angry people. Just on the angry people thing too, there's been some absolutely ridiculous comments made on the Star Wars The Old Republic forums. I think some of them are in jest, and that's always the fun thing about, you know, text-based forums. But, you know, there's talk about, well, not riots, but just talk about really getting aggro about this. That's just stupid. As a host of a favourite podcast of mine says, it's just a game. I mean, we're not going to get violent over this. It's just pathetic.
Well, what is the term fan derived from, David?
Oh, so
do you know where?
Now you're going to show up my ignorance again, but go for it.
Fan is short for fanatic.
Oh, of course. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. I mean, what happens at soccer games? What happens at baseball games? What happens at basketball games, football games, when the fans get out of hand?
Yeah, that's true. But I mean,
this would be the first time for a video game, I think.
I think it would be just beyond pathetic. I mean, all right, there are some people saying that there might be picket lines of Electronic Arts' Brisbane office, which apparently is close by where the EB Games Expo is being held on the Gold Coast. So that's the big expo I was talking about before, where I was hopeful that BioWare would be there. You know, all right, if people want to have a peaceful picket and protest at the lack of an Oceanic release, if that's ever confirmed, go for it. But, you know, I know there were tongue-in-cheek things made about, you know, well, I think there was actually something about bombing mentioned there at one stage. I know that it was joking.
Don't go there. Don't say it. You never said anything. You never heard anything. You never read anything.
Oh, was that you that posted it?
No, it wasn't. Thank God.
I mean, it goes without saying, you know, don't be so idiotic. And I said, to be fair to the people that post that sort of stuff, I'm pretty sure they were doing it tongue-in-cheek. But even tongue-in-cheek, it's not funny. And it's at the end of the day, it's a game, and they're a company that make the decisions that they make. But
my personal feeling on this is that they probably, like you say, it's probably somebody got their wires crossed here. I think they're likely to go for a worldwide release. if they don't have a worldwide release, then they will probably have really good reasons, and they will list those reasons. Now, even if they do have reasons, they're not going to please everybody. But it's still, BioWare has been very upfront. They've been very careful to maintain this, you know, this whole snowball that's been growing and growing and growing and growing and growing. And if this, yes, Australia and New Zealand is not the largest market that they might have, but it's a good-sized market. They're not going to just drop you guys like a bad habit. They're not that stupid.
No, I agree totally. Where the pessimistic side of me kicks in, though, and I definitely don't mean any offense on this to anyone, but because BioWare is an American-based company, and it's no one's fault, but there tends to be, as a superpower, America has this real blind spot in regards to smaller areas and markets. They don't see them as important. They may be very friendly towards them and go, yeah, you guys are important. But at the end of the day, if there are some really, you know, we don't want to have the lag issues and the bad PR straight at launch from people that are more distantly located from where the servers are. So we'll just, you know, delay them 6 months. And people get offended, and a lot of the time there's not a real recognition of just how much people get offended by stuff and that their passion for the game is as great as anyone else's. So, yeah, well, I don't know. I think there's a bit of ethnocentrism. Go Google that, people. Ethnocentrism.
I understand, David. I'm an American. I have blind spots just like any other American. I have my own stupidity, you know, various stupid things that I'm finding when I'm living here in Canada. But at the same time, I can truly understand your point of view with this. My problem is I can understand both points of view. Maybe it comes from being an army, you know, son of a soldier and grandson of soldiers. You know, we don't expect to get all the information. We don't expect to be told everything. This day and age, you know, the consumers expect more than I think the companies are willing to give them. There are some good reasons for not giving out all the information, and there are more bad reasons, I think. But that's the way things have always been done. It's the way things always are likely to be done.
I agree. And you just raised a really good point on expectations. Is one of the more amusing things, again, on the Star Wars The Old Republic forums, has been this absolute outrage that BioWare haven't officially responded straight away. All right, it has been 2 or 3 days since this is really brewed up, but it's 2 or 3 days over a weekend after an enormous it's a weekend, and it after an enormous effort that would have been put in for E3, where most of the community reps, even though some people may not see it as hard work, the reality is they're probably pounding that floor for 12 hours plus a day plus everything else they had to deal with.
A lot of bloody work.
Yeah, so I mean,
I stood on my feet for 12 hours. It hurts like hell.
So, you know, I don't have an issue with no response yet. I mean, if we get through to Wednesday or Thursday and there's still no response, then you start to go, well, that's not really the best management of a community, albeit a smaller community compared to the overall population. But I tend to be keeping the faith at this stage that it's just, look, there's only so many staff and they can only do so much at once.
Yeah. And one of the other things that I get from being the son and grandson of soldiers is I understand logistics. And we're talking about a huge logistical deal. Even if they try to make Oceanic servers, it will be, I mean, you're talking about increasing the headaches and the monetary stuff, you know, at least 3 or 4 times. Would it be worth it? I don't know. They're likely doing various various corporate type planning. Almost certainly they're planning various aspects of. They've probably got multiple plans. I've been looking at your list on here, the worst case, the next worst case, the bearable case, rifle case. These are almost certainly plans that they already have. Now, which ones they're likely to be able to do are going to be, dictated by how much money they have available, how many people they have available to do each one of these things. How much server hardware they have available. I mean, you don't think about that until you have, 2 or 3 million people logging onto a server at the same time.
Oh, that's where it gets really funny, because some people have actually gone to the trouble of looking at pricing for Australian-based servers, although it can't be based on a hell of a lot of knowledge in that we don't know, the level of space and bandwidth required, but... Yeah, the server issue has very much been muddied up in the release delay. And from my viewpoint, and I'm not going to be popular for this view with a lot of people, I actually don't care that we don't have Oceanic servers from a lag and playability viewpoint. And I apologize for mentioning WoW again for the fourth time tonight, but I play on what's called an Oceanic server in WoW, but it's a US-based server. There are no Oceanic-based servers in WoW. And I have no issues. I play on a dodgy laptop via a wireless network and never have any issues with WoW. It works fine. So I couldn't care less about having a local server from that viewpoint. Where I do support the idea of a local server is for people to be able to congregate from the same time zone. And I have no doubt that BioWare will eventually have servers once the growth starts that will be labelled as Oceanic servers, so people know, okay, well, that's... I know people will be on at the same time as I will. And for me, that's fine. I don't actually know why the server issue was muddied up in it as much. Certainly not something I wrote about. But the forums are very much... Well, actually, to be fair, it's BioWare that have muddied it, because the forum moderators closed threads and pointed people towards threads around Oceanic servers. So actually, BioWare have some blame for that.
Well, like you said, a lot of the people who were responsible for moderating the forums were probably in E3. So, do we blame them for this? I'm not going to blame anybody until I have facts. It's easy to start throwing accusations at a rumor, but it's not generally smart. I hate to say that, but that's generally the truth. Rumors are rumors. Until there are facts, if it's the end of the week and they haven't told us anything, might start, prodding people. But it's, for the most part, I can't see BioWare being that stupid.
No, I agree.
They haven't acted like other stupid companies who shall remain nameless. They've been remarkably upfront. They've been remarkably PR conscious. They've been amazingly so. If they do set up a US server and label it Oceanic, you say that would work for you?
It would, absolutely. But there are some people that, if they're getting more than a 50 millisecond, I think it's millisecond, 50 millisecond lag... that, it's not playable. Whereas I'll sit on, a 300, 400, 500, 700 millisecond lag, and I still think it's fine because I'm a ranged DPS in WoW. In Star Wars The Old Republic, I'll be something similar most of the time. The world doesn't end with that sort of lag.
Yeah, I'm planning to do ranged DPS for the most part myself. So for me, I'm not going to be doing Twitch-based stuff. And I'm not a big raider. I'm not big into PvP, so I guess I'm not the one you'd have to talk to about how the lag, affects. I remember dealing with lag of 1200 in City of Heroes a couple of times.
Oh, that's right.
And it's It was downright annoying on occasion, but you know, you dealt with it. You just dealt with it. You said, "Oh, awful lag," and then you went on.
Yeah, that's my view. But you've got to, I suppose there's a passionate community, and there's one other thing I wanted to give an example. One of the people on the forums has actually rung Electronic Arts PR in Australia and asked for clarification. So they're not a journal or anything, they've just rung them. And according to an Australian PR person, when he initially talked to her, she didn't know anything about it. But then when he rang back again 4 hours later, she was able to confirm that to her knowledge, there was no plan for a delay in Australia. But, you know, I don't place any more faith in that than in the validity of that than I do that the Electronic Arts PR at E3 absolutely knew what was going on. So it's all a bit indistinct.
Tell me we're not fanatics. Tell me we're not fanatics.
I think on the scale we're not, but I think we're somewhere middle of the bell curve.
Oh, I don't know. Sometimes. I mean, how many times do you have to call E3? You know, how many times do you call E3 PR in your hometown to find out about something?
Yeah, it's dedication. I was impressed.
Wow.
It's probably a sign of desperation because there's been no response from BioWare. But as I've said, I think that's reasonable, the no response to date, and I'm sure they will respond. So, yeah, interesting issue, and it's not going to go away for a little while yet. We'll talk about it more on the next podcast because I'd say we'll have a resolution one way or the other by then, and obviously keep checking toros.com.au for any updates. Because it is very much an Oceanic-related issue, so a lot of the other sites aren't covering it, which is fair enough. I wouldn't if I was them either. So I'm not about to cover, you know, the state of release dates in, you know, Fiji. Actually, I would do Fiji because that's Oceanic. But anyway.
Well, my thoughts on this. People don't always hear what other people say.
What'd you say?
People do not always hear what other people actually say. People get emotional. People get stressed. People get distracted. They don't always hear exactly what someone else says. If this was somebody who said that they did not have any information, but there was a possibility of this, and I think that's actually what they said. I'm not entirely sure. There's a possibility of a delay. You know, they didn't. If they said they didn't have any information, but there's a possibility of delay, I don't know about you, but I probably would have just heard delay and gone, ah, no!
Yeah, no, I agree totally with him. I think the interesting thing there is that the original person that tweeted it, you know, she's a relatively young co-host. I don't know that she comes from a journalistic background. In fact, I'm pretty sure she doesn't. So it's easy to write that off as she misheard it. The second person that heard it is a journalist and has a lot of experience and very credible. And he's not the sort of guy that says this stuff unless he's heard it. So as I've written, I think it comes back to whether the PR people have got their facts right.
And no, PR never gets their facts wrong, David. Yeah. They never make erroneous comments.
And I suppose they I'm biased too, as I mean,
goofs.
Yeah. As a writer of many years standing too, I mean, I tend to be a bit probably too pro-journalist at times too, but I know Jason and he's certainly not writing stuff like that unless he's heard it. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see. And I'm sure David Bass and Daniel Erickson and the team, that they'll come back with some actual facts in the next few days and clarify it. And a lot of the hysteria will probably die down. Unless, of course, they do say, yeah, it's going to be a 12-month delay, then the hysteria has only just begun, I think.
Yeah.
That said, proxy servers aren't that expensive.
Yeah, and if they can set up an Oceanic server, you know, to serve you guys, I bet they will. And I hate to say this, but I'm actually in a similar boat right now because, well, not as bad, but Canada does have internet. But the area that I'm in right now, it's not the greatest.
That's the thing. I mean, yeah, the US definitely has some of the world's best bandwidth. So, yeah, it gets hard when you get outside of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll just have to see. I'm going to wait and see what the actual people from BioWare say about this. You know, they may just keep saying, you know, it's just a rumor. You know, we can't comment on rumors. And if that's the case, I'll wait till I have hard data before I start screaming, yelling, and throwing things.
Absolutely. And the other thing, too, in defense of BioWare specifically, particularly the community reps, is that I would have thought things like release dates and geographical distribution of games totally falls outside the game developer and very much is the distribution arm of which Electronic Arts would be the mastermind. So to some extent, I would have thought it's actually out of BioWare's hands.
Well, as I said, they have to have geographic plans because going into different regions, you're going to have different logistical problems. You're going to have to fly things to some places. You might be able to send some things on ship to other places. Then you have to make sure that everything connects. Oh, and you also have to make sure it makes it through customs, too. That's always fun. Yes. I'm gonna err on the side of maybe that PR guy. I think you're right. Maybe that PR guy had his wires crossed, at least until BioWare or EA gives us some more information.
That's right. And you can be sure that we're chasing up. I've had a few emails today asking, you know, can we continue to pursue this? Absolutely, we will.
Oh.
You've got no doubt about that. And I'm happy to be there at the picket line, the peaceful picket line, if it comes to that, but I'm sure it won't. So that was one big...
Peaceful.
Yeah, peaceful, absolutely. I'll bring my glow bat, though. So that's a big bit of fat chewed, but it is an important one, particularly for the Oceanic players. So that probably wraps up episode 9. As always, love to hear your thoughts. Thanks to those that continue to support the podcast. I did say last week I would have something more to announce this podcast about a competition for guild hosting. It's still going to happen. It's purely my own lack of output that has meant that I can't announce that. So I basically have to have some discussions with the prize provider, which I haven't yet for a range of reasons, including going to my school reunion, which makes me sound really old, and I am old. But so I promise, well, I won't promise, I'll try by next fortnight to have all that nutted out, and so stay tuned for that. Otherwise, Twitter, SWTOROZ, please love you to follow us, and we've had a lot of followers in the last fortnight, particularly since this release date things come off. And then our forums at toros.com.au/forums, and email is contact@toros.com.au. Ed, thank you again. As always, you make the show.
And one thing.
Yeah.
One quick thing. To BioWare, to LucasArts, to all the people who've worked on Star Wars The Old Republic so far, well done. E3 was incredible.
See, that was very nice of you. I did vomit in my mouth a little bit just after you said that, but it was a very nice thing to say.
Sorry.
No, it's good. It's good.
Well, it you know, except actually, let me redo that.
No, we're still recording. This is all going in, so spit it out.
Well, except for the release date problems, which may be wire crossed or issues, or, you know, somebody wasn't hearing what was actually said, or somebody said something and it wasn't heard, or whatever. To everybody who made E3 what it was, y'all did a dang good job. Just watching it, wow. And whoever had to work the floor, Whoever had to walk all over the place, like I've seen people have to do, I hope your feet stop hurting sometime in the next month.
Yeah, that's true. And I'm happy to add to that, that if we can guarantee a simultaneous worldwide release, I personally will massage their feet and suck their toes.
I did not need to hear that. Oh, I did not need to know that. Oh, so does your wife know that you moonlight?
As a toe sucker, no. And luckily, she doesn't listen to this podcast either, so I'm probably safe.
You better hope she doesn't.
From the coldest depths of interstellar space to the nastiest packed urban sprawls of Coruscant, this